This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You like this one, Hugh?
Not at all.
Nah? All right. Welcome back. Midday show.
But I respect the fact that ESP likes this music. This ain't banging in my truck.
Here's what we need to do. We try to get Elliot in the proper football mindset when he joins us.
I don't think you have to do that. Elliot has been on fire, except for his grade that he gave a quarterback last week. I got to push back a little bit on that one because I think he gave him an A.
All right, Elliot Shorepark's calling, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seed. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
You know, I was going to say, I made an emotional decision after that game getting Jalen today. And then that song comes on, you feel emotional all over again. So maybe I'm ready to defend the grid.
No, I'm seriously, Elliot, an A? An A?
Nah, so Jalen shouldn't have gotten an A on that report card for the game. I just think in general, if you lead a game-winning drive on the road against that team in that stadium, initially, you deserve some big-time credit for
no,
that.
No, big-time credit.
Really good.
Big
he
time.
He was good in the fourth quarter, yeah. But having rewatched it a few more times, that was probably more a C-minus performance.
See, but now we're cool because that's what I thought.
I think a B is fair.
If you would have gave him a B, I would have been okay with that. I said C plus, but if you'd have gave him a B, I wouldn't have pushed back. But I'm like, Elliot was drinking the Kool-Aid. That's the first time I can say that. Yeah, you got too wrapped up in the moment, dog.
I do like this. This should be a new thing where people that give grades use emotion on the grade. I got emotional.
Don't we use emotion every day?
Yeah, but usually graders are a little bit less emotional.
Okay, right?
That's usually what it is. All right, Elliot, let's talk about all this, including the coach and the quarterback. We're on the quarterback, so let's start there. Elliot, you watched it, you rewatched it. What do you think about the way Jalen played? And now let's get to the turnovers, because it's just piling up now. 6 turnovers in 3 games. Only Will Levis has more so far this season among quarterbacks. What did you see upon rewatching?
Yeah, so I think there's 2 problems Jalen has had this season, and both of them kind of showed up against the Saints. One is obviously the turnovers. I mean, you guys have repeated it at length, but worth saying again, not only is he number one in the league in turnovers since week one of last year, but this season, he's number one in the league in turnover-worthy play. So while Will Levis might have more turnovers, no quarterback has put the ball in harm's way more than Jalen. And I think you obviously saw that against the Saints. I know, you know, Devontae could have ran a better route there, but Tyrann Mathieu was just sitting there waiting for that ball to be thrown. So I think Devontae could have run the best route possible, and at worst, that's an incompletion. And what happened is the most likely outcome is the interception. So the turnovers are something that cannot continue. The team will not be able to keep winning if that happens. But the other thing I think Jalen has not been great at this year is getting rid of the ball quickly. Too often you see plays where a receiver is open, but because Jalen holds or hesitates, it throws off the timing of the play. And it's not always a bad play because he does make good plays with his legs, but I do still think he's holding onto the ball too long in the pocket.
Elliot, let's get to the head coach now, who it's been 2 straight weeks of a lot of fire for him, and this one off of a win. I mean, they won the game Sunday, and yet there's a lot there. Elliot, we could talk about the decisions, but I'm curious if you think this is going to start to become a distraction. Every Eagles player that I've heard speak this week is asked about the head coach after a win. It feels like it's the biggest story around the team, what Sirianni does, what he doesn't do, his in-game decisions. Do you think the Sirianni stuff is going to be a distraction if this continues?
No, I don't think so. But also I would say that right now Sirianni is is playing a valuable role for this team, which is he is covering up the criticism for Jalen, right? If there was a different head coach or a head coach that people, you know, liked, which I think it's unfair that Nick's not more popular in this city, but a head coach that people liked, I think Jalen would be catching more criticism. So, you know, you're right that a lot of the players, almost all the players, are asked about Sirianni, but they'd probably prefer that to being asked about Jalen, which felt like all offseason every player got asked about his leadership and all those things. So right now, Nick catching the blame and being at the center of the criticism is probably a better outcome for the Eagles than if it was Jalen.
As you say that, the name that came to my head, Elliot, there's some Gabe Kapler circa 2018-19 when the team wasn't good enough and he took all the heat for every little thing he did, and that he was a shield for those players. All right, so Elliot.
Well, I can give you what about another example more recent with this team, Doug Peterson. I mean, in 2020,
right,
everyone convinced himself Doug wasn't a good head coach anymore, right? Like Doug was the problem. Doug was the problem. And that ended up not being the case. The problem was the quarterback. And you saw even in Jacksonville, Doug Peterson went to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence played well. They made the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence not playing well. They're not making the playoffs. Like, we can talk about the head coach all we want. The quarterback has the biggest outcome on this team, as the biggest outcome on how this team plays. So I just think we're missing the point here, focusing on Nick.
I agree with you. This season and this week reminds me a lot of 2019 when Carson was going the wrong way in his career and the questions were about Doug and the bigger issue was the quarterback. And I think similar here. It's the bigger issue is Jalen's trajectory. That's going to decide the next 2 years of this franchise.
And I know we've talked a lot about Nick's decision-making last week against Atlanta, this week against the Saints. If you look in 2022, when Jalen was playing at a high level, No head coach in the NFL added more win probability to their team than Nick Sirianni with his decision-making. What he did on fourth down, what he did in terms of kicking field goals versus going for touchdowns. No head coach added more if you look at the numbers. So when he has good quarterback play, Nick knows how to call a game. And I do think he is making the correct decisions for the most part this year. The decision at the end of the first half, I disagree with it, but the play's not executed well, which is why it doesn't work. And I think when you have a quarterback that is inconsistent, which is what Jalen is right now, A, it makes making decisions harder because you don't know when to trust your quarterback to make a play, but B, the results aren't as good because the quarterback's not as good. So Nick can make the right calls. It's just the players and the quarterback this year aren't executing, in my opinion.
Wait a minute, hold up, because I kind of blanked out for a minute. Are you defending the going for it on fourth down? I mean, instead of kicking a field goal, Elliot?
No, so at the end of the first half, I would have kicked the field goal.
Okay.
So on the fake tush-push play, I would have kicked the field goal.
Okay, I was just making sure. Just making sure.
Yeah, but if you look at that game, he made four big decisions on fourth down, and he got three of them right. So this idea that they won the game despite Nick on the sideline, like making all these bad decisions one after the other, just isn't true. They really won that game despite the fact that Jalen had the two turnovers. That was the biggest holdback in that game. It wasn't Nick. It was Jalen's turn.
Decision, though, Elliot. That was just bad. I mean, that's just like, you know what I mean?
But it wasn't as bad as the turnovers.
No, but still, Elliot, that decision not to take the points before the half is just bad.
It was not good. Elliot, let's unpack the other part of the decision. It's one thing to decide to go for it on fourth down, right? And you're right, he's been mostly aggressive since he got here, 2022, super aggressive. That's one thing. Let's go for it on fourth down. Okay. The other part of it, Elliot, was that he called the play. It wasn't Kellen Moore. It was Sirianni saying, let's go for it, and we're running the play I want to run here. And then after the game, and then again this week, he's kind of opening the box and letting us know that this is happening sometimes. He won't unveil how often. Elliot, what do you make of that? Because now we have a Pandora's box open of how often is Sirianni taking the play call away from Kellen Moore?
Yeah, so to me, this is a non-story because it happens with every single head coach, whether you're the one calling the plays or not. When Shane Steichen was here, there were times Nick called the play. When Brian Johnson was here, there were times, a lot of times, Nick called the play. And with Kellen Moore here, there are going to be times where Nick calls the play. So, you know, the play he called did not work. It is not the play I would have called. But yeah, I mean, if Nick's going to tell us these things, it certainly opens him up to criticism. But this idea that Nick was just standing on the sideline listening to the play call every time with no input, it was just never true. Like, we could have pretended that was the world we lived in, which makes this seem like a bigger deal. But every single play that is called, Nick has his fingerprints on, whether it was during the week deciding what plays they like in certain situations, or whether it's just talking to Kellen during the play calling process deciding what to do.
Do you worry? I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, this was inevitable. Do you worry that there's going to be too many cooks in the kitchen at some point here? I go back to 2020, the year they didn't even have a coordinator, right? And it was Scangarello and it was Morningway. When I hear Sirianni talking about Jason Michael, I mean, he said his name like five times this week. Do you worry there's too many cooks in the kitchen here for the offense to be as good as we want it to be?
No, because I think there's just as many cooks as there's always been in the kitchen, right? Like when Brian Johnson was in the kitchen, right, this was the same process. When Shane Steichen was in the kitchen, it was the same process. The difference is once they put those ingredients out on the field, the quarterback's not playing as well. So 2020 was an issue with Scangarello and all these guys because the quarterback didn't play as well. This year, the fake tush push didn't work because the tight ends missed their block. Saquon got tackled. Like, you look at the Philly special, and I think this is such a perfect play call to talk about when talking about play calling. If Nick drops that pass, that is viewed as one of the worst calls in the history of the Super Bowl. Right before the half, trick play, what are they doing, right? But he catches it. So it is one of the best plays in Eagles history. So often with play calling, that dictates whether it was a good call or not. And so we can talk about the play caller like we did last year when everyone ripped Brian Johnson for a full year. But this year, it looks the same. Why? Because the quarterback is the same.
Well, the quarterback's got to be better. I think we all agree on that one. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. I'm sure we'll have more of this lively discussion coming up next week and when we talk to him in the pregame Sunday. Thank you, Elliot.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks clearly putting this more on the Hurts situation than the side.
No, he's a.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
He's a Coach Sirianni fan.
He's a Sirianni guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, Elliot. If you're listening, I'm not saying it like I'm getting on you because you are just like you was going, like I just had to make sure you weren't defending that play, you know.
Well, no one could defend that play.
I mean, I like ESP. I like the input that he brings, but I was about to say, if he was defending that play, I'm like, hold up, dog.
We haven't heard one person since Sunday say, you know what? Going for that fourth down before halftime? That was smart.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really awesome. That was the way to do it. 215-592-9494. Coming up, an injury update from Adam Schefter. Could A.J. Brown potentially return this week? And Darius Slay on the cheap shots handed out by the Saints. We'll hear all that next. Your phone calls. Bigger concern moving forward. Sirianni or Hurts? It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Money need to be took. So he baby luck ain't come back in that game because I'm not going to tell y'all what I would do, but it would have been something done during that game. Just know that.
Let's hear it again.
Money need to be took. So he baby luck ain't come back in that game because I'm not going to tell y'all what I would do, but it would have been something done during that game. Just know that.
Listen, Slay. If you're listening, I love you to death, man. I know we don't follow each other on social media anymore. But I'm curious. What would you would have done? Because, Slay, I saw that tackle ride you all the way to the sideline and put you on your back, dog. Hey, listen.
What is he having, 100 pounds easy?
He got it easy. Big Slay. Leave it to the big dogs, man. Let the big dogs handle
Dude, he
that.
Got ragdolled.
I just like how he said, hey, if I'd have went back out there, there'd have been consequences. What would you go do? Like, seriously, what would you go do?
I haven't seen a football player move like that on a field since I played high school football.
No.
If you ever wonder what it looked like when I tried to play, that's the way it looked. Man, I got pushed around like that.
Listen, I remember one time, remember arcades used to be big, right, Joe? And it was like, you know how when you go to the change machine and you put change in it.
Yep.
So it was Buddy was in front of me. And he had, big dude, and he had the change machine. He put the money. He didn't know how much money he was going to get back. He got a bunch of quarters. So instinctually, I went and grabbed some of the quarters, and he grabbed me up my collar. He was like, what you doing?
Taking his quarters?
Yeah, but that ain't the story. The story is how he gripped me up in my shirt collar. Yeah. And had me like, oh, and I couldn't do nothing about it.
That
a little
was Slay.
That was Slay. Slay, you weren't about to do nothing, dog. Like, for real. Leave that to the big fellas. That's not your wheelhouse. That's not your wheelhouse.
It was like watching a real-life version of the sled when you go to practice and the offensive linemen are just pushing the sled.
Let me go.
Except
was
it's a person.
He was like, let me go. I do commend Slay for this, though. He went out there and he played the run. He played against the run. He was trying to play stout against the run. He had his moments. So shout out to him. But big dog, listen, you weren't about to do nothing. No, let's just be honest.
Basically threatening the guy that just ragdolled him for 20 yards up the field.
Then he gonna say, "Boy, you lucky I wasn't out there." Who lucky? You lucky? Like, seriously.
You know, between CJ GJ basically calling Carr trash and saying he was gonna give them one, and this, and the dirty hit on Devontae. I could really sign me up for a Saints Eagles playoff game this year. That would be fun to watch
these
teams
again. Man, the DBs though, like they talk a good game. They talk, man. They ain't about that action, man. Slay is not about that action. I put money on that. Slay ain't about that action.
Well, he said that he was on his podcast, so that's what I heard. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls here, Donald in Chester. Hey, Donald.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
up,
Donald,
man?
What's up, pal?
Hey, yo, I'm sitting here listening to you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? His Slate sound like a linebacker. You know what I mean?
He's he ain't no like listen, he ain't about that action, dog. You're not going in a street fight with Slay. You know what I mean?
Yo, I can see you as at least like Kobe Bean or Zach Barnes side talking like
that. Slay a little dude, man. Slay a little dude, man. I mean, I much respect to him, love for him, but man, you ain't about that action, dog.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, you know, I agree with everything Elliott Shore Park said. And see, and I've been a Hurts fan ever since his Bama dates, you know, but I call it a spade with them. And there's just certain things I expect. And see, and also, too, is I just think that since he's getting paid all this money, he's paid to adjust to these new offenses. These other guys are not getting paid nowhere near as much as he is, and they're doing well in these new systems in their first year. So, you know, there's just certain things I expect. And he's right about certain things. If Hurts makes better decisions, you know, Sherry, I just don't think Sirianni is put into those types of decisions that he's making now. You know, and honestly, my last point is I agree with Seth Joyner because Seth Joyner said something else that I agree with. I believe that Kellen Moore will be our next head coach.
Well, Donald, I've had that in my head since they hired him. Because you remember, Donald, before they hired Sirianni as the head coach, one of the guys they interviewed was Kellen Moore. So he's been on their radar for a while, and then they brought him back. I think there's a real chance that's the case.
But I believe his offensive mindset is exactly what Lurie wants as far as his offense is concerned. I believe that's exactly what he wants. But hey, I'm looking forward to seeing Big Jalen and Big Jordan just do the same thing week in and week out, man. I'm just looking forward to it.
Donald, it was so much fun to watch those guys on Sunday. And Donald,
hopefully we'll see it again.
We appreciate the phone call. They dominated that game. Like when you watch defensive linemen that can like wreck a game, like
game wrecker.
It's just fun. Like
one man gang.
And Jalen Carter, that was the game we've all been waiting for, Hugh, for a while. I know he had some good games to start last season before he kind of fell off a little bit at the end. But that was the most dominant I've seen him in the NFL.
Maybe they need to do him like they used to do. Who was it? Big John Henderson from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to get this the taste left out your mouth.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Hey, Joe.
What is wrong with him?
It was a self-edit. If people, because you saw it, it was right there.
People don't know the story that he was trying to reference there. So John Henderson, who you played with for a year, one year
in Jacksonville, yeah.
So he used to like to be slapped across the face where he went out there,
hard, like hard.
I think there was a SportsCenter commercial with this. Do you remember that?
I think so. Well, that show. All you got to do is Google it. John Henderson. Well, YouTube it, I guess. John Henderson.
I think it's a SportsCenter commercial. And it's just one of the SportsCenter records just winds up and smacks him in the face.
He said, John would say, you got to hit harder than that. Slap me for real.
Like, you know what? I think you're onto something. Because we wondered, because Seth said earlier that maybe Jalen and Jordan play well because we ripped them all week. No. Yeah. Maybe they needed a slap.
Maybe you need to get slapped across the face.
You know what? I don't think that would make me perform better at work if I got slapped across the list where we got on the air.
I mean, to each his own, man. To each his own. I mean, whatever you need to motivate you for the day.
What was your reaction the first time you saw it?
Like, I was like, nah, I can't really share that. But it was visceral. I was like, what the?
Now, was it a teammate that did it or some trainer?
No, it was the trainer.
I'd be scared if I was a trainer to slap John Henderson in the face.
Bow! Like, and it was funny because the person that you saw, John, on the field was different. John used to, what do they call it? Not traditional furniture. The furniture that's really little and like space agey. That's modern, right? They call it like the modern kind.
John Henderson had little furniture?
Man, I went to John's house and I'm like, dog, you too damn big for this little ass furniture, dog. Like, cause I'm more of the masculine big couches. You know, I was more of a like leather, like full couches, like traditional type. John had this little feng shui, like house with the little glass table. I'm like, dude, what the hell? And he was a neat freak.
So I looked up the commercial and I remember it now that I see it.
For the record, John Henderson was 6'7", 335.
And he was a neat freak.
Little furniture. Can we hear this? All right, let's hear John Henderson getting slapped across the face.
No. No, yeah. Bruh. Help, like, it, like, I wish, the only thing I regret about being in Jacksonville is not being the player that I was when I had a chance to play with Marcus Stroud and John Henderson.
You guys would do anything for us.
A heck of a line.
Them two cats up front from Tennessee and Georgia, man.
That made me want to go play football.
No, I'm saying, like, them cats, like, Stroud, man. Stroud used to get after it, too. Both of them cats could play. And I was like, damn, I am a shell of the man that I used to.
People must have thought when they signed you, oh, we got Stroud, well, we got Henderson, we got Douglas.
Oh, and then they would say, ha ha.
Douglas said,
ha ha, not so fast. Oh, man, that was funny. John was really funny.
I'd be so scared to slap that man in the face. Even if he was, like, requesting it, that seems so scary.
There was some lunatics. Like, it was some lunatics down there in Florida. Florida, playing in Florida and having those guys as my teammates, I was like, what the hell? Like, for real. They were different. They were definitely different.
It sounds like it.
They were different. They were so different.
Let's go to Paul in Northeast Philly. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. How you doing? What's up? You, I want to say something.
What's up?
I agree with you. I think that was a bad call by Sirianni before the first half. I don't think there was nothing to gain for it. Even if he got the first down, he was running out of time. He would have kicked the field goal anyway.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird to me. It's just weird.
Yeah, that being said, I mean, you could say who's on the team, what, when, and where, coordinators. Guy won 65% of his games. So I don't want to throw him under the bus. I have a quarterback who's in the bottom third of the NFL. Okay? So if he's going to take the blame as a head coach, I love it. Let him take the blame. But our quarterback's got to play better. I think he does make the right reads. You? I think he does. I think he's a hair late in getting the ball out of his hand.
I can't argue that. I can't argue that because there's been some time, like in the first pick he threw the season, yeah. Green Bay.
That's right.
He was late.
And Paul, with that, I think you're right on this. And this is where, and his arm is good enough, right? We've seen it. He's won. He's been a good quarterback. But when you have a good arm, not a great arm, you can't be a hair late. Like Josh Allen could be a hair late, and he whizzes that ball in there, and we don't talk about it. Jalen's a hair late. And Tyrann Mathieu's got an interception.
Yeah, like they used to say with Brett Favre in a cover two, he threw a seam pass, and you're not supposed to do it in a cover two. And they asked Brett Favre why, and he said, because my arm's strong enough to get it there. Okay? Jalen doesn't have that arm. It's got to come out of his hands on quick release. That being said, there was a quarterback this year who got released on $45 million contract opening. The team had to pay him like $40 million. That's going to happen a lot more. Because there's a lot of contracts out there that are big contracts for bad quarterbacks. So you're going to see this more and more. So people say we're on the hook for Jalen. Don't be surprised. A year goes down the line. If he doesn't improve, that happens to him also.
Paul, it could. The Eagles, and Paul, we appreciate the phone call. The Eagles set this precedent. I mean, we did this already with Carson Wentz. He was the biggest cap hit ever. Then it became Matt Ryan. And I think Paul was referencing Russell Wilson. It was an $85 million hit to get rid of him in Denver.
Yeah, but he was bad, though.
Well, you know who might be next? I know I'm not about to say Hurts. If Trevor Lawrence keeps playing like this, I don't care if they paid him.
You got to pay quarterbacks, though, man.
Yeah, but I mean, if they stink, you can also get rid of them.
Yeah, but I look at it like this. Teams know that when you're in the situation that you're in, especially when it comes to that position, you got to do what you got to do. You have to pay them, man. It's one of those things where you pay for the potential.
But what if
no,
you're wrong?
No, you don't pay for Trevor Lawrence, man.
You do pay for Trevor Lawrence.
Can't.
Well, they did.
He stinks.
But they did. Look at him. But they had to pay.
No, they didn't.
Why not?
Because he's not good, Hugh.
Listen.
I kind of agree with you that if you have someone and you think they're good, you pay them.
Right, when they paid him, they had to.
Once you realize they're not good,
you gotta eat that turd.
No. You can't stay in a bad marriage. You gotta get out.
You talk about staying in a bad marriage. What do you think the Dallas Cowboys are doing?
But Dak's
what is Dak
good.
Want?
Dak's
but what is Dak want?
Dak is better than Lawrence.
But what does Dak want? What does Dak want in the postseason?
I mean, he at least wins you a division. Trevor Lawrence has lost 8 straight games.
But
like, he stinks.
That's being mediocre. You're settling for mediocrity.
Well, mediocre and bad are different.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Lawrence sucks.
I take mediocre all day over
bad.
Did
you say, dude, Lawrence is in the pocket spin moving nobody?
No.
Stinks.
There was literally nobody there, and he's doing spin moves.
His completion percentage is 50.
He looks so bad.
He hasn't
I mean, but you like that's the one position in the NFL that you have to have. And if it looks like you might have a guy, you got to give him the bread. You have to.
I get it, but once you realize the bread is it's bad bread, you got to get new bread. It's moldy, man.
Think about this moldy bread. How do you think? Seriously. How do you think the Chicago Bears feel right now?
They are
looking across the pond, looking down the way, looking down, what is it, I-80? I think if you go way down I-80, you go down I-80, you get to Pittsburgh, looking like, damn, we had that guy.
Yeah,
I think they're looking at Jaden Daniels more than they're looking at Caleb.
Well, okay, you're in the moment, but Justin Fields don't look bad though.
Small sample size. I think I'm still taking Jaden Daniels over Justin Fields.
Me too. The Bears have to look in the mirror. How much of this
is their fault? Body of work so far. Yeah, I got you.
Maybe it's the Bears' fault these quarterbacks are bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not. What do you say when it looks? It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, well,
I'm the problem.
It's the Bears.
Just one more thing. Keeping Matt Eberflus, a defensive coach, that felt like an obvious spot where you bring in an offensive head coach.
Of course.
To bring Caleb Williams along.
Well, because the Bears don't know what they're doing.
They're wasting a year.
They're a bad franchise. I mean, that's why they haven't had a good quarterback in 80 years. All right. Update. Injury report on the Eagles. Could AJ play this weekend? Here's the latest, Adam Schefter.
They got him and Lane Johnson in concussion protocol this week. So typically, normally guys in protocol usually don't make it back for the next week. So now we've got two wide receiver questions for Philadelphia, not to mention a major one along its offensive line with Lane Johnson. A.J. Brown initially had said that he thought he would miss a couple of weeks. This would be a couple of weeks. So I'm going to guess that A.J. Brown's going to test out the hamstring to see how he's doing. And Devontae Smith has to go through the protocol to where he's got to get cleared. It's always very difficult to predict whether a player will or won't make it through protocol, other than more often than not, they don't.
All right, so that is the update on the Eagles. So basically, Schefter's saying there, usually, week of a concussion, you don't get to play the next game. You rarely make it back out. So that would be Lane and Devontae may not play this week.
Yeah.
But he did say that he expects AJ to give it a go. So today's their first practice, so we'll see.
No, I don't want AJ. Like, listen.
You want to be patient on this?
Yeah. Mm. I know there's no such thing as schedule losses in the NFL.
Are you Glenn Rivers?
I'm not going to get you with Doc Rivers.
Wow, Glenn Douglas over here.
There's no such thing as schedule losses, Joe. I don't know why I'm giggling, but I am. But you have to go into this game with the healthy bodies that you have, because we playing chess. We ain't playing checkers. We're playing chess, and we're playing the long game in this situation.
And they do have the bye after this week.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not willing, because hamstrings, especially with speed guys, they can linger. I don't want this lingering. So I wouldn't take a chance with playing AJ. I really wouldn't.
You believe this, guys? We got Glenn Douglas over here. You know,
Glenn Douglas.
Doc Hugh over here talking about schedule loss this Sunday.
It's a schedule loss. What is it? It's a schedule loss. Celebrate him.
Well, he loses the sack.
Oh, down a sack for Hugh Douglas.
I'm just saying, man. Listen, we can find out what our quarterback's about.
No.
You can find out this weekend.
You're throwing him to the Wolves against Todd Bowles with Johnny Wilson.
Hey, did you see that salty defense that we had last week? You don't believe that they could do it again, huh?
Not to this extent.
No, we got to talk bad about them. They'll play well.
WIP could do that.
I mean, in fairness, I don't think anybody expected the defense to do what they did, but the biggest question
expected.
About them. No, hold on. The
no,
biggest,
no, ain't no, hold on. It's expected every week.
No,
every week.
Well, that's no, Hugh. That's my point. Is that
okay,
the question about the defense is, can they do it consistently, and can they do it later in the season? Yeah, you totally
being emotional. I was being Kyle because Kyle does that from time to time.
I appreciate that.
Just start yelling for no reason.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, I was yelling for no reason.
Kyle's an idiot.
Yeah. So I'm not sure the defense could do this again.
I am.
Are you're sure?
Yes. You know why I'm
after
sure?
After the first two weeks?
That's want to, Joe. That's want to more than anything that I've ever seen.
You're going
to
guarantee it?
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, come on.
It's too early in the week, man. Stop it.
I mean, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, but it's still early. It's hump day. It's hump day.
Could you imagine how pumped the city would be if you're giving out guarantees on a Wednesday, though?
No. They'd be like, this guy's an idiot.
Come on here.
No. Can't do it. Too early. But I do feel.
Do you hear our studio audience how disappointed they are every time you say that?
No, but I do feel this, though, man. Like, to draw comparisons to Warren Sapp, to Jerome Brown, like those kind of guys, mm-hmm. you have to see that and hear that and know that, hell, if you play well, if you play with that same kind of effort every week, your next stop could potentially be Ken. Like, think about that for a minute. Like, you are so good that the only thing that's holding you back is yourself. Like, when you decide that you want to play, ain't nobody on the field can stop you from doing what you want
to
do.
It does feel like if there's two players that, if they play to their potential, could change the course of the season. One is obviously Jalen, mm-hmm. right? Hurts, the quarterback. If he stops turning the ball over and plays like he did 2 years ago, they're going to be really good. And the other one's Jalen Carter. I mean, what you're saying there, and I know some people are probably like Canton, but no, he has that potential.
No,
most players don't have that potential. He does.
And if you can't see it, that's fine. That's why I do the show every day from 10 to 2 to try to tell you what I see. And if he plays with that level of tenacity and that level of want to, ain't nobody can stop him. He's a whole problem. He's a problem. But you got to do that every week.
You know he needs? He needs to get locked in like John Henderson. He needs to get locked in like John Henderson.
He needs somebody to slap him across the lips every Sunday.
Or we could do it in a verbal way.
Or just figurative way. Figure out what got him going. Because Vic said something, Coach Fangio said something in the press conference that I had been echoing before they even played the game. They all play with better technique. Now if we can get Coach Fangio to get Bryce Huff out the doghouse and help him get better, that'd be great.
Now you might be asking for too much.
I don't think, you know what, to be honest, I don't think Coach Fangio liked Bryce Huff too much. I don't know what he's doing at practice, but Bryce Huff played better in the small amount of plays that he had, but I still strongly feel like they need to move Bryce Huff to the right side.
There is one believer in Philadelphia left in Bryce Huff.
That would be me.
That would be me.
I believe in Bryce Huff because I've seen him do it. Maybe he needs to. He needs to probably be a right end as opposed to that left end.
It is
a lot going over there, man. It's a lot going on over that left side. A lot of traffic. Joe. But he's out there fighting.
Less snaps, better for the Eagles. So let's just keep it low.
He set the edge a couple times, though.
And they only played him 18 snaps, and they won the game. 215-592-9494. We'll get to your phone calls here next. A bigger concern moving forward, Hurts or Sirianni? And we'll go through some of the Phillies playoff opponents and scenarios coming up at 1, plus a Joe Conklin special later on. This is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's here, everybody, the most wonderful time of the year, and that would be football season. And what's on my menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're the tailgate king or the gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up at 1, we'll look at the NL playoff scenarios. As Phillies lose last night, so do the Dodgers. Padres won. Braves beat the Mets. A lot going on in the NL, and there's a whole bunch, including weather tonight down in Atlanta, that could affect it.
So there's a monsoon or something.
I'm not sure we're going to know who's in the NL playoffs till like Monday, depending on this weather situation tonight and moving forward this week. And we'll get to that and a new Conklin bit in a little bit as well. Back to the phones here. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence!
Dude, Kyle, what's up?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Terrence.
I want to say something real quick about that game. I heard you talking about the defensive line, Hugh. The one thing they said that changed the game was in the Saints game. They said they went from a 4-man front to a 5-man front.
That helped. That definitely helped. But yeah, they played with more technique. They were more technique sound.
Absolutely.
They were definitely more technique sound. But, yeah, that definitely helped.
But I did like that adjustment. And I was talking to Kyle. Kyle said, I went with Sirianni. But Kyle said, I said both, but Kyle told me I had to pick one. So I want to say Sirianni because I feel like Jalen Hurts, you can fix the turnovers. But with Sirianni, I feel like a coach, when they're setting their ways, they're always going to be setting their ways, you know?
Can't fix the little man complex.
Yeah,
can't fix
it's always going to be like that. And I think the thing that hurt the Eagles is on that Super Bowl run, they were always blowing teams out, and Sirianni never got a chance. He never got a chance to, like, have situational football to use his brain. And I think last year he had to do it more, and this year we're seeing that already. So I feel like that kind of hurt the Eagles on that Super Bowl run that we didn't have that. And the thing is, I heard you guys talking about the Redskins. Like, we got to get our stuff together because the NFL is more parity than ever. And I don't care what no one says, Cliff Kingsbury is the quarterback whisperer. You saw him with Mahomes
Ever since he came back from Bangkok. Who was that? When he was at
Kyler
Bangkok.
Murray.
And he came back, he was different.
Yeah, man, Kyler Murray. Yeah, Kyler Murray. And now you're seeing it with Daniels. So I feel like Washington is going to be a problem, man.
And I agree. You know, and sometimes, Terrence, when it comes to Kingsbury, because I remember when they hired him, people were like, he's Cliff Kingsbury. Sometimes guys are just coordinators, right? Like, you're good on one side of the ball. You're not – Cliff Kingsbury wasn't a head coach. I mean, those Cardinals teams were goofy when he was their head coach. But he knows how to generate offense and develop young quarterbacks. Kyler Murray played his best football with him. Like, I'm not surprised that Jaden Daniels looks good with Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury can – he could scheme an offense, especially with a young, mobile quarterback. Thomas in Westchester, who I got to hang out with at the Phillies game yesterday with our yardsman. What's up, Thomas?
What's up, Joe? You got me?
Got you, buddy. What's up today? How you doing, man?
I'm feeling great. What an awesome experience that was last night with you. Thank you again.
Oh, yeah. I was great. Hugh, we got to be on the field while I was batting
practice. I saw the video.
Yeah.
I saw it. It looked pretty cool.
Kyle Schwarber came down and said hi. It was really cool, Thomas. We had a good time last night. I wish it was a win, but fun time. Thomas, what are you feeling today? Hurts, Sirianni? Who's the bigger concern moving forward?
I think it's a little bit of both. But I think it's pretty obvious that Sirianni is obviously lost on when he should go for it, when he should take the 3 points. But I think ultimately the season comes down to Jalen and the turnovers, and I think we're going to go as far as Jalen can take us.
Well, he's the quarterback. And yeah, and those turnovers, I mean, he has the ball, Thomas, in his hands every single play. Like, he's the guy that decides where the ball goes. Does he keep it? Does he hand it off? Does he throw it? He is huge here, Thomas. I agree. I mean, like, It's very hard, Thomas, for me to think they're going to win the Super Bowl if he keeps turning the ball over like this. It's just hard.
I agree. Completely agree.
Thomas, good stuff, man. Good hanging out with you last night, you and your wife, Janelle. It was a fun time being at the game yesterday. And, Thomas, we appreciate the call. You know, Huey, the turnovers, we had OG Wade. He called us earlier, right? And he was yelling at me. And he was saying that they win in spite of the turnovers, or he keeps winning. That's not a strategy that's going to last very long. Like, you can't keep turning the ball over and expect to win most games. It doesn't work like that in the NFL.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you have to clean those up. The one thing that's a truism in NFL is that every week you're striving to be better than you were the week before. And there's always room for improvement. And I know that that's what Jalen has been working on in the last couple of weeks. It's unfortunate that he has had turnovers. I still go back to that Atlanta game. And if we weren't in the situation that we were in at the end of that game, then Jalen has a pretty darn good game coming out of the chute. But we were in a position where had to throw the ball. And unfortunately for Jalen, it was an interception.
You know what the funny thing about this discussion today is? They both, in a way, make each other's life harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If Sirianni is leaving points on the board, the game is probably closer at the end. And then every decision, every play by Jalen is magnified. At the same time, Jalen turns the ball over. It makes the game closer and tighter. And then every decision Sirianni makes is magnified. We separate them for the purpose of a conversation, but the reality is they're intertwined. I mean, it's the coach and it's the quarterback. They're the two most important parts of the team. Let's go to TR in Winfield. Hey, TR.
Hey, fellas.
What's up, TR? Doing? What are you thinking, buddy?
Man, everybody's talking about Sirianni, man, about his decision-making. I mean, if things go good, everybody's happy. If it goes bad, everybody's angry. I think that, you know, everybody just need to let him do his job, man. I'd like the coach. I mean, we're trying to win. It's just a matter of, you know, my thing is they don't use Goddard like they should. You know, they're not using our tight ends like he should, like they was using Shelley. It's just coaching, man. Didn't do his job. That's all. It's hurt as far as Hurts concerned because he has to make better decisions, especially not throwing balls across his body, like I said before, and just make better decisions. But other than that, you know, it's football. If something's going to go bad, some things going to go good. You know what I mean? And we just can't be fair weather friends. When all these plays would have worked, everybody would have been happy. But I like his aggression. I love aggression. So if you're going to be aggressive and roll the dice, go ahead and do your thing, man. Try to win for us. That's all.
But on the flip side of that, he was not aggressive. Like, was in the Falcons game, there was a time where he was being a little conservative,
well,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, they went for the field goal at the end instead of just going for the fourth down to end the game.
Yeah.
Right. Then one more thing. I mean, not to cut y'all. Man, we need Goddard featured like Selleck was, man. They're not giving him the ball like they should, man. Going across the middle and stuff, man. Yo Gotti is that man. We need him.
Yo,
we need
not Yo Gotti. Like, not
yeah,
Yo
Gotti.
I heard that.
That's Yo Gotti. That's my man. He's a friend of mine.
And no, I Yo got Gotti, you.
That's my
you.
Man. He's Selleck, man. He's the second coming to Selleck. We need to treat him like they're Selleck.
I got you.
Well, he was a big part of a TR. We appreciate it on Sunday. Obviously, it was the best game of his. That was the best game of his career.
No, he balled out, man. He balled out, and that's what you see when you get the tight end involved. I think there's a conscious effort now because he has playmaking ability, and especially now with the receivers being hurt, you're going to probably have to factor him and Saquon into the passing game probably a little bit more. You're going to probably have to incorporate them.
Oh, I would think Sunday, and we were talking earlier about the receivers and who's going to play, who's going to not. I mean, he was calling this a Doc Rivers scheduled loss and sitting AJ on Sunday. But if they do that, Goddard's the number one target. If I'm the Bucs, like, who else is Jalen going to on Sunday?
Saquon.
Like you still. But I mean, in receivers.
If Vita Vea
is not there,
Saquon's a problem. Like, he's a problem.
Am I allowed to bring up how many touches Saquon's had through three games?
As much as you want.
Are we going to ignore this?
And as much as you want. Okay. And just like the head coach said, if we need to get in the ball 100 times to win the game, that's what we're going to do.
As the camera pointed out the other day.
He looks fresh.
Now he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on pace for 500 touches.
I mean, this isn't the time to bring up Saquon's touches when they're out their top two receivers.
Yeah, just letting you know. Hey. All hands on deck.
I just asked if I'm allowed to bring it up.
I mean, yeah, you're not.
Okay.
All hands on deck.
I just want to let you guys know, though, when we keep saying now's not the time, we're going to wake up and it's week 16 and he has 400 touches on his body.
All hands on deck.
And he's got nothing left in the tank.
I mean,
if they got 12 wins,
Yeah, and then who cares? We go in the playoffs and he's out of gas.
Then we have AJ, Devontae. We got a whole other option.
Oh, okay.
Give it to the young cat.
And then Will Shipley.
So he gets them to the playoffs and Will Shipley takes us home.
But why are we just assuming
that? Why are you doing all them damn squats? Yeah. You got to be ready. Well, like, be ready to go.
Why is 420 touches going to be the one that kills him? Like, I don't think that's.
I know, but couldn't I say this about minutes for Embiid or innings for Zach Wheeler? At some point, like, there's a point of it breaks.
Well, okay, but so I think we're sort of conflating issues here with Saquon, because the problem with him is not the amount of touches or the wear; it's the injury history,
right?
Right. Okay. Well, he's not going to get injured. Like, he has just as much of a chance of getting injured on the very next touch he gets as he does the 420th this year. So it's just there's no reason to worry about it.
Well,
there's nothing you can do.
I'm sorry. This is what I'm doing. I'm worried about it. I'm not saying. I hear you guys for this week, this particular week coming up. It's another week they need him. They're down their receivers. We want to win this game. Just saying, they're racking up a lot of touches every single week. 215-592-9494. We'll come back at your phone calls here. We'll take a look at some more numbers for the Phillies, how they can clinch a bye, the one seed, and potential.